Mem Dalid Amud Aleph line 6. V'ein li ela b'mu'adim. This is a hemshech of the Braisa that we started on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The Braisa established based on the pasuk O ben yigach O bas yigach lechayev al aktanim kigdolim, which means that the shor, if it kills a bas or a ben katan or ktana, is kills the child, is chayev skila. The shor is put to death with the chayev skila. The braisa continues. Ainli ela b'mu'adim. We know that the shor is chayev misa when it kills a person, whether it kills on the first time or it kills on the fourth time, whether it's a shor tam or a shor mu'ad. But how do we know that this chiyuv misa, the shor, applies even in a case of a tam when the victim was a child? How do we know that? Bitam minayin. In other words, it's possible to say that when it says v'im shor nagachu mismol shilsham v'ud b'bolov, that is the pasuk that continues with O ben yigach, obas yigach, clearly referring to a shor mu'ad. How do we know that a shor tam that kills a child, a ben or a bas, is chayev misa? And even though the Gemara established back on Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, that whenever the Torah says that a mu'ad is chayev, even a tam is chayev, so since we know that a mu'ad is chayev for both Gedolim and Ketanim that were victimized, so to the Tam should be Chayev. But nevertheless, the Torah needs to teach us this din of Katan or Ketana even in the case of Tam, that applies even in the case of Tam, because once the Torah had a ribui in the parish of Muad to teach us Ben Obas, it's implying that that's in Muad. The Torah could have told us that Chiddush in Tam, and then we would have derived it from Muad. The fact that the Torah went out of its way to place this Chiddush of Oben Obas in the parasha of Muad indicates that maybe in Tam there is no Chiyuv on Ben Ubas. And maybe psychologically what this means is that since this Shor is so cruel, I mean, you're talking about a shor that is vicious. So one might think that vicious shor that kills even a child, maybe the bailim are chayev, there's no pshia, the bailim. And therefore, we need to derive this from some sort of a source. So first the Braisa tries to derive this from Svara. Svara meaning a Bamei Motzinu or a Kal Vachomer. And ultimately, the Gemara is going to need a special pasuk, Negicha B'Tam, Negicha B'Muad. But first, the Braisa tries its hand at some logical derivation. And that's called Dinhu, which means a Bamei Motzinu. Ho'il V'Chiev B'Ish V'Isha. The Torah says that if the shor kills gdolim, an ish, an isha, the shor is chayv misa. V'chiyuv bebein ubebas, and the Torah says that you put the shor to death if it kills a ben ubebas. That's explicit in the pasuk O ben yigach O bas yigach. Is mak shechiyuv beish veisha lo chilakta vo ben tam lemuad. If the animal killed a mature person, then you're chayev both in a tam and a muad. Is af kishachiyuv bebenu bebas lo tachlok bo bein tam lemuad. So at this point, the Gemara is comparing two categories of victims of this harig of the shor. One category is ish v'isha, and there the Torah doesn't make any difference between tam and muad. Even in the case of tam, the shor murdered a person and is chayev misa. So that's a person who's mature. It makes sense now to assume that even if the victim was a Benu Bas, and we know that in the case of a Shor Muad, it's Chayav Misa, the same thing should apply to a Shor Tam. In other words, Misa basically is applicable to the Shor, whether it's a Tam or Muad. And if you've already derived that in the case of a victim that was a Gadol, you're not going to be Mechalik between Tam and Muad. You see that Tam is Chayav, just like Muad is Chayav. Is so too, we don't want to make any distinctions between Tam and Muad with regard to Ben Ubas. We know that if the Shor Muad kills a Ben Ubas, that's explicit, the Shor is Chayav Misa. So too, if the Shor, and that's by Muad, so too, in the case of a Shor Tam, the same halacha should apply. V'od, and furthermore, I can apply a Kal V'chomer. Ma ish v'isha, shekein hura kocham b'nizokin. The Torah was machmir in nizokim, which means that an isha, if they're mazik someone, they have to pay nizokin, they're liable for their damages. And nevertheless, lo chilakdebo bein tam lemuad. And nevertheless, even in the case of Tam and Muad, Yechayev Misa, meaning even if the Shor that killed the person was a Shor Tam, is Ben Ubas, Sheyofa Kochem Ben Nezikin, the Torah was Mekil on a Ben Ubas, and therefore then Achayev Nezikin, because a Ben Ubas, a cotton is a La Bardas, is no Chiv Nezikin, is Enudin, Shlo Tachlok Bahen, Bein Tam Lemuot. And here in this Kal V'chomer, the Brisa is applying the logic of being comparing Mazik to Shara Mazik, meaning whatever Chiyuvim apply in the case of Mazik, meaning where the Ish V'Isha Mazik, so too we should apply that same yardstick when the Shar is Mazik. And if Isha and Isha is Chayav in Nezakin, then the logic is there should be a Chiyav Misa on the Shor in the same cases, meaning Isha to Isha are Chayav in Nezakin, so on the offensive level, when they actively damaged, so too when we put the Ish v'Isha on the victimized level, on the defensive, not on the offensive, is we don't make a chilek between Tam and Muad. That means, even in the case of Tam that killed a person, Yechayev Misa. Now, Ben Ubas, where the Torah says that on the offensive, you know, in Torah, B'Torah's Mazik, the Torah says, Yofa Kochem, they don't have to pay Nezikin, then when we flip it around to the Chiv of the Shor, in which case the Ben Ubas are victimized, then for sure we shouldn't be mechalik between Tam and Muad. That whether this child was victimized, was killed by the Shor, whether the Shor is Tam or Muad, we shouldn't make that distinction. And now the Gemara picks off one by one these limudim, these svaras, and rejects them. First things first, the dinu, the bamematzinu, amarta, v'chidonin kal mechomor lahachmir olav im hichmir b'muad hachomor tachmir b'tam hakal. That you wanted to establish some sort of abematzinu in which you analyze tam and muad. But your analysis of Tam and Muad really, essentially, is not from the perspective of Tam and Muad. It's really from the perspective of the victim of Ish v'Isha. And what you're saying is that when the victim is Ish v'Isha, you're chayev both in the case of Tam and Muad, and therefore if the victim is a Ben Ubas, you should be chayev between Tam and Muad. But that doesn't make any sense, because really, essentially, you're deriving a conclusion from Muad to Tam. You only know that in the case of Muad, you're chayev for Ben Ubas, for Ketanim. You don't know anything about the case of Tam. And furthermore, the Ode, even as far as Yekal V'chomer is concerned, Mamarta Be'ish V'isha Shekein Chayovim V'mitzvahs Tomar V'benu V'basher P'tur V'min HaMitzvah V'pirchan Yekal V'chomer, because perhaps the Torah would be machmir in the case of Ish V'isha when they were victimized, and that's the basis of Yekal V'chomer, that even though it was Hura Kocham, that's only because the shor killed someone that's chayav the mitzvah. But the shor kills someone that's potim in a mitzvah, maybe the Torah would be mekil and say that only a muad is chayav, but not a tam. So in essence, all these attempts to derive the conclusion that even a tam is chayav misa for killing a ben uvas ketanim, they fail, and therefore we need a yalfusa Talmud Lomar. O ben yigach, o bas yigach. There's an extra word negicha here. It could have said o ben, o bas yigach. So the extra word negicha is negicha betam, negicha bemuad, negicha lemisa, negicha linezakim. So again, the fundamental principle of this sugya is that if not for the fact that the Torah had written O Ben O Bas and revealed to us that in the case of Muad, Yechayev Misa, the Muad, the Shor is Chayev Misa, even for Ketanim, we would have said that they're Potter. And now, we basically need to derive Tam from Muad, that just like in Muad, the Torah wasn't Mechalik between killing a Gadol and killing a Katan, so too in Tam. But how do we know this? And for that we need the extra Pasuk, Negicha. In fact, some of the Mefarshim say that even the first Kiyigach is extra, because that otherwise, you look at the Gemara says, Negicha B'tam, Negicha B'muad, and then it says, Negicha L'misa, Negicha L'nezakin. So we first need a Ribui for Ketanim, as far as Tam is concerned, with regard to Misa. We need another one with regard to Nizakin. It could be that the Gemara is darshaning two extra words here. The Mishnah says, Shor Shoyim is Chachek Bekosel V'nafal Al Ha'adam. The Shor was rubbing against the Kosel and it pushed the Kosel over and it toppled over a person and killed the person. That's one case where there's a Ptur, where you don't put the Shor to Misa because it didn't have Kavanah to kill the person. Second case is Niskavi Larugas Abeima. The animal was attacking a person, an animal, for Harugas Adam, and unintentionally it killed a person. Or the animal had Kavanah to kill a Knani, Vilharag Ben Yisrael, the Nefolim, Vaholag Ben Kayoma, is Potur. In all these cases, since the Shor did not kill the Kavanah, the Shor is Potur from Misa. Now we have a basic machlokas here in the Gemara between Shmuel and Rav. And the question is, what about the Bailim? Do the Bailim pay kofar in these cases? Amar Shmuel, Potur. Yes, the Mishnah says Potur, but that's only Mimisa. It means that the Shor is not considered liable and culpable as a Rotzeach, as a Horeg, because it didn't have Kavana. But that doesn't in any way, shape, or form exonerate the owner of the shor, who through his lack of meticulous shmirah, he was negligent, the shor went out and killed a person, is v'chayev v'kofer, the owner of the animal, even though the shor is not nerak, he didn't kill the kavana, still has to pay kofer for this hariga. But v'rav omar potter. Rav says, Mizeh Mizeh, that the Ptur of Abmishnah extends not only to Misa, but also to Kofar. We had this Dea back on Daf Mem Aleph, if you recall the name of Rabbah. Rabbah's opinion was, if there's no skill of the Shor, then the Bailam of Potter, they're exonerated from Kofar. And it's one package deal, Skila and Kofar. Skila to the Shor, and Kofar to the Bailam. So the Gemara asks now on Shmuel, Vamai, why should the Baal HaShor be Chayev Kofer? After all, Vatamhu. So the Gemara really has a technical opposition to Shmuel. And that is that in our Mishnah, we're talking about a Shor Tam. because this is the first time that the Shor, rubbed itself up against the wall, knocked down the wall and killed somebody. And in Tam, there's no Chiv Kofar. And even according to Rav Yochanan, back on Daf Mem Gimel and Beis, who says, Im Kofar, Lerabos, Shafala Riga Shaloba Kavana Chayv Kofar, that's only in the case of a Shor Muad, not in the case of a Shor Tam. Tosus wants to know, we had Dibra Maschil Im, sorry, Dibra Maschil Tam, if there's a possibility of interpreting Shmuel and our Mishnah, according to Shmuel, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says that Tam is Chayv Chatzi Kofar. But it doesn't seem so, says Tosfos, because the Mishnah says, back on Daf Mem Aleph, that Shor Tam is Potmi Kofar. It seems like the Mishnah itself never accepted Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and the Ptur of Kofar is absolutely all-encompassing. It is not even a chiv to pay a chatzi kofar. So the Gemara now answers, Kid Amar Rav. Again, the statement of Rav is out of context. It was made on a Mishnah later on, Mem Zayin Amid Beis. And Rav interpreted that Mishnah as referring to a case, B'muad Lipol Al B'nei Adam B'boros. There's a case there where the Shor fell into a bar and killed a person who was inside the bar. And Rav says that you could have such a case in as a Muad, as a Shor Muad, because on three different occasions it fell on human beings in the bar and crushed them. And it became Muad, and therefore you pay Kofar. Hachanami, here we could say a similar idea, that our Mishnah is talking about a case B'muad L'schachek Al Pnei Adam B'Ksalim, that already on three occasions this Shor pushed the Kosel over on people, and it became a Muad, and therefore the Bailim pay Kofar. Again, did the Shor have Kavana to kill a person? That's Gemara's Kasha now. Ihochi Bark Tolahu. This Shor doesn't fit into our Mishnah. The description of the Shor in our Mishnah is that the Shor killed without Kavana. Here, apparently the Shor kills with Kavana. Now, the Mishnah later on, Rav says, is talking about a Muad Lipol Al Bnei Adam V'Boros. And there too, Lechori should have asked that same Kasha, why wasn't the Shor Chayev Misa in that case for the first time around? So the Gemara says now, Bishle Mahasam, there you could say that on the first three times around, the animal didn't throw itself onto the Shor B'Kavana, but rather the animal fell into the bar. It came close to the edge of the bar. That's what Rav Yosef says later on in Memches. The Chazi Yeroka, it saw grass and grazing area on the mouth of the bar, right near the lip of the bar. Vinafal, and it slipped and went into the bar, and this happened three times. But again, it's a case where the Shor is not Chayv Misa because it fell without Kavan. It slipped into and fell into the bar. And if that becomes a repetitive kind of behavior pattern, then the Bailim have to pay Kofar if on three occasions we've already seen this Shor fall into a bar. And even though it was not miskaven to kill anybody, nevertheless the Bailim are chayav Kofar. And here too, we could say that if the Shor is not Chayev Misa, then according to Rav, the Bailim are not Chayev Kofar. But according to Shmuel, the Bailim will be Chayev Kofar. Elahacha. But here in the case of Nischachech Bekosel Vipila Bnei Odom Mai Ikala Meimar, how is it possible to say that the Shor did it without Kavana? Time after time we see the Shor pushes the Kosel onto Bnei Odom and kills them. So why isn't the Shor Chayv Misa in our Mishnah? Hachinami, the Gemara gives the same answer. Mischachek Bekosel Ano Oso. Just like the case there where the shor inadvertently fell into the bar, here too, the shor inadvertently pushed over the kosel and it fell on a person. Uminayadinan, how do we know that the shor that repeated this behavior pattern time after time was not doing it with an intent to kill, but rather shame handah? And the Gemara says we can see that clearly, the boss of the Nafal, because even after the kosel fell, is kamischachech bay, the shor continues to scratch its back against the bricks or the boulders of the kosel. So we see clearly that it didn't have kavana lahamis, only had kavana lahana asa. And in such a case, we don't put the shor to death. But says Shmuel, the bailim achayev kofer, because even though lechora you'd say it's a shor tam, you know, as far as misa is concerned, it's not really a shor muad that was chayev misa on these first occasions because it didn't have kavana. But nevertheless, it's a muad larog, and if it's a muad larog, then the bailim pay kofer. That's the shita of Shmuel. Because you don't need a chiv misa in order to be chayev kofer. Now we're on Mem Dalid Amid Beis. Vakati, still it's difficult, because what happens? The shor pushes against the kosel, and the walls of the kosel go flying until they kill someone. Tzroros ninhu, that's a chiv tzroros. And in the case of tzroros, where the animal kills someone mikocho, there is no chiv misa on the shor, and there should be no chiyuv kofer on the bialim of the shor, because Rashi points out in the case of the chiyuv kofer, the Torah says ki yigach, and ki yigach means the hariga was done begufo velo bekocho. The Chazon Ish points out that even according to Sumchus on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, who says that you pay nezek sholim for tzroros, and he's not mechalel between kocho and gufo, nevertheless, with regard to kofer, the Sumchus agrees, he admits that you need a nezek begufo velo bekocho. Omar Rav Mori Brei de Rav Kahana de Ka'azil minei. In other words, even after the kosel fell, the shor continues to push the wall, the boulders, the stones of the kosel, without stopping until it falls on a human being. So the nezek is gufo mamish. This is not a case of tzroros. And again, even though the shor is doing it lahanaso and the shor is patur, nevertheless, the owner of the shor pays kofer because of a hariga that the shor killed begufo, and the shor is the shor muad. Tanya kavasei de Shmuel. Now, instead of asking a kasha for Shmuel, the Gemara quotes a brisa to support Shmuel that a shor muad, even though it killed without kavana and is part of mimisa, nevertheless the bailam machayev kofer utiyuv to the rav, which is going to be a brisa that is a TKO, so to speak, an absolute kasha without a teretz against rav. And the brisa says the following: Yesh chayev misa uve kofer. In certain cases, there's a chiv misa and kofer. That's again going to be the case of kavanaso lahamis. V'yesh chayev bekofer upotami misa. That's going to be a serious raya for Shmuel, that despite the fact that the shor is potter from misa, for example, lo niskavin larog, nevertheless the bailim pay kofer. V'yesh chayev bemisa upotur mina kofer. You could have a case where the shor is chayev misa, like for example a shor tam, and yet the bailim are potur mina kofer. V'yesh potur mizeh umizeh. There's a case where there is no chiv misa on the shor, nor is there a chiv kofer on the bailim. And now the Brisa says haketzad. So again, if we're talking about a case of a muad and it killed b'kavana chayv misa b'kofer, if it's a case of a muad shalo b'kavana and this is a riot to Shmuel chayv b'kofer potum misa, if it's a case of tam b'kavana chayv misa potum b'kofer, because the chayv misa, as we discussed many times, applies even to a short tam, but kofer only applies to a muad. Tam shalo b'kavana, if you're missing both variables, you don't have a muad, you don't have a kavana, is potum mizeh o mizeh. Potter mi misa because it was shaloba kavana. Potter mi kofer because it was a shartam. But we see clearly in this brisa that a sharmua that kills below kavana is chayev kofer, and that's a proof for Shmuel. Now the next part of the brisa says vanizakim shaloba kavana. What happens if the shar damages something, not kills something, but it didn't have kavana to do so? And here we have machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev. It sounds a little bit familiar to us from, or reminiscent to us of Shabbos, where Rabbi Yehuda is mechayev on a davar sheino miskaven, and not only in Shabbos but in Kol HaTorah Kula. Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon says that without kavana, you're not chayev in Shabbos. Here too, also he's poter. And what does it mean? He's poter. It means the bialim don't have to pay damages. Which the Chor is a Pella, because from the perspective of Pshias HaBailim, what difference it make, even if the Shar was Mazik Shaloba Kavana, I don't see why that mitigates the Pshia element here, but we're going to see that Rav Shimon derives this from Eyal Fusa. My time with Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda again is intuitively sound, but the Gemara needs nevertheless a proof for Rabbi Yehuda, Yolif mi kofer. In fact, ma kofer shaloba kavana chayev, even though the shar killed shaloba kavana, and again, another expression of Shmuel, nevertheless, the bialim pay kofer. So we see that the chiyuv kofer, when the shar kills a person, applies even if the shar killed shalobi kavan. After all, the machayev of kofar is the pshias abayil. What difference make the shar killed without any kavana? That's again an exonerate. That's a mitigating circumstance for the liability of the shar to be judged and as a capital punishment. It's afanizokin nami shalobi kavan achayev. Why should we alleviate the bialim of their chiyuv even if the shar didn't have kavana? What bearing does that have on the pshias habaylim? Rabbi Shimon, what's his source for? I mean, why is he saying that if the shar was mazik shalova kavana, the bialim are potter from the zikin? And the Gemara answers, yolif miktole de shar. He derives it from the death of the shar. If the shar is not put to death, that's in the case where the shar killed someone. Mak tole means if the shar kills someone, shaloba kavana patur is af nezikin shaloba kavana patur. And it would seem, as the Gemara is going to clarify in just a minute, that according to Rav Shimon, we shift the entire focus of our attention here away from the pshias habailim but onto the pshias hashar. It's as if to say the bailim pick up the tashlumin, but really it's the shar itself that's chayev. I mean, you can say the shar is chayev misa, but in the case of the zikin, that's a pel of a chidush. So let's see how the Gemara develops this. Rabbi Yehuda nami nelif miktole. Why shouldn't Rabbi Yehuda say that just like the shar is potumi misa in the case of shalom b'miskavim, so too the shar, there should be no chiv tashlume nezikin in the case of a shar that was mazik without kavana. Says Rabbi Yehuda, donin tashlume tashlume veino donin tashlume misa. It makes more logical sense to derive a chiv damim, a chiv tashlume, which is a chiv imposed on the bailim, from another case of a chiv tashlume, and namely kofar. Because the bialim have to shell out, they have to pay kofar, despite the fact that the shar is exonerated insofar as the shar wasn't miskaving l'arok. Rabbi Shimon Nami, oh, this is the question we've been waiting for. Rabbi Shimon Nami, nelif mikofro. You see a split, that even though the shar, shalobi miskaving, is potter, nevertheless the bialim pay kofar. Here too, in Ezekiel, we should apply the same, like, exact, identical standard. And Rav Shimon answers, "Don in chiyuvah d'shar mi chiyuvah d'shar." Then in the zikin, like in the case of misa, the punishment kaviyachal is to the shar. Put away, freeze in the back burners. It's not going to freeze in the back burners, but put into the back burners your discussion here about pshias habaylim.
talk about the pshias hashar, the guilt of the shar. The Bialim is only, so to speak, stepping into the shoes of the shar and paying for the shar. Is lafuki kofer the chiyuve de Bialimuk. A kofer is purely a chiyuv de Bialim. Kofer means that the Bialim have to be machaper themselves. But in the case of Nezikin, the Tashlumi Nezikin is for the guilt of the shar. If the shar is not totally guilty, then the Bialim won't be guilty. There's a quote here from Rabbi Elchanan in Kovetz Biurim to the effect that the Chiv Bialim in Tashlumi Nezikin is for the Maisa Hezek of his mama. That's a big chiddush, and we'd have to see this clearly in the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Nizkei Mamon to really analyze this properly. That just like we speak about a Maisa Hezek in Odom HaMazik, so to a Mamon HaMazik we could speak about a Maisa Hezek. Although we do have something called Grum of Nezikin Potter in the case of Odom HaMazik, but I'm not sure if Grum of Nezikin Potter applies to Mamon HaMazik. And if the mamon of a person contributes to his to inflict the damage, then lechora the baal ashor, the baal hamamon, should be chayev. For example, we recently discussed the case of ashor harodech afar ashor, and if as a result of the redifa the shor hanirdaf bangs up against the stone and dies, the Shar Rodef, at least according to some Rishonim, would be Chayev. And that's because, as far as Mamon HaMazik is concerned, I'm Chayev for contributory Hezek. Or, for example, one Shar pushes another Shar into a bar. So both the Baal HaBar and the Baal HaShar HaMazik would split the Nezikin. So I don't know that there's Halach of Maisa Hezek that's Machayev in Mamon HaMazik, but Rabbi Elchanan assumes so, at least in the context of Rav Shimon. And that's why, since there was no Kavanah on the part of the Shar to be Mazik, it's less of a Maisa Hezek. Now, the lack of Kavanah is a lack of a Maisa. And again, we saw this in Shabbos, where Rav Shimon says that you're not chayev for violating Shabbos in an Einu Miskavim situation. It's as if the mice is not your mice. Again, unless there was a psikresha. And that would be interesting, that if we pick up an equation here, which the Shita Mekubetzes in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel quotes this analogy between Lo Miskavim in Ezekin, in the case of this Kashor, and Lo Miskavim in Melech HaShabbos, and we take that to its logical conclusion, why not say that if the Shar damaged Shaloba Kavana, but it was still a psikresha? And I say this with the tongue in cheek, but I don't know how far Rabbeinu Chananel is willing to go with this equation. In any event, getting back to the Mishnah, is Kavin Larugas Abema Vargas Adam Patur, and the Gemara now is Medayek. It was a case where the animal had Kavana for Abema, and that's why the animal is exonerated from Misa. Han is coming larog as zev aharig as zev chayov, and that makes sense. If the animal is a killer animal with kavana, the animal should be put to death, even though it wanted to kill Reuven and ended up killing Shimon. But the Gemara says masnis in the loki Reb Shimon. Again, Reb Shimon limits the chiyuv in the case of shar aharig as adam. The sanya Reb Shimon Omer, I feel is coming larog as zev aharig as zev potter. The shar is potter from misa, and I suspect that if the shar is potter from misa, then it's possible that the bialim are potter mi kofer. Lo mi boy, according to Shitas Rav, who says that ipso facto, if there's no chiyuv misa on the shar, there's no chiyuv tashlume kofer on the bialim. But maybe even according to Shmuel, in this particular case where there was kavana larog, maybe Shimon Shita is very unique, that Kavana laharogazev aharogazev is bechlal not considered Kavana. Well, that's difficult to say, because Shmuel was talking about a case where you didn't have Kavana larog lahamis, correct? That was the case of Shmuel, and yet Shmuel says the Baal Machayev Kofer, even though the Shor is part of Mimisa, because it didn't have Kavona Waharog, it was Kavona L'shem Anov V'schachek B'kosel. I would say, in that case, the Baal Machayev Kofer, with a Kavachom, they should be Chayev Kofer in the case of Shor. So again, there's a Ptur Misa. That's the famous, unique Shita of Rav Shimon. My time with Rav Shimon, again, Rav Shimon has to be based on some Pasuk. Again, unless we just simply equate all the dinim of Ritzich and the Chiyuv Rotzeach with the Chiyuv of the Misa Ashar. Tiyomar Kra, the Pasuk says with regard to Misa Ashar, V'yimshar Nagahu, V'hemis Isho Isha, Hashar Yisakel, V'gamba Olav Yumas. And we have here an equation, K'misas Bailim Kach Misa Ashar. The Shar is to be condemned for death in the same way that a Rotzeach, a human being, would be condemned from death. And the same regulations and the same limitations apply. Ma Bailim Ad Demachavin Le. Again, we don't know how Reb Shimon learns this halacha, but if he had, Reuben wanted to kill Levin, he accidentally killed Shimon, his potter. Afshar Nami Ad Demachavin Le. So Shar is judged by the same standards and the same conditions that apply to Ritzicha and an Adam, where a person killed someone, so too the Shor is only condemned to be stoned if it killed in a way that had a human being killed, the human being would be Chayev. But Olam Gufi Minolin, and how does Reb Shimon in fact know that if the Baal, meaning the human being, had Kavanah to kill one person and he inadvertently killed the wrong person, how do we know that he would be Potter from Misa? And he doesn't have the judgment of a Rotzeach. The Pasuk says in the Parasha of Rotzeach, it's in Dvarim, in Perek Yutes, V'orav lo, right, it says, Ki yia ish sonei l'reo, V'orav lo, V'kom olav yiko nefesh. Lo, what does lo mean? Adshim is coming lo, he wanted to kill this person. Again, the Rabbanan are not impressed by this whole thing. They disagree. They say that even if you didn't have kavanah to kill this person, you're chayev. Even if the Shor didn't have kavanah to kill this person, the Shor is stoned. So, hi, the Arav lo, my avdilei. What do they do with this extra word, lo? Ami to bear of Yanai, prat lezorek evan lego. We have a case where a person throws a stone into a group of people. That group of people is made up, it's comprised of both Jews and non-Jews. And at the end of the day, we find that a Jew was killed by virtue of this stone thrower. However, when the stone left his hand in flight, it was a suffix. We don't know if the kavada is to kill a Jew or a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, let's just calculate the statistical probabilities in terms of the makeup of this group, Hechidomi. Elam, if it's a case, the Ika, Tisha, Knanam, the Echad, Yisrael, Benam, there's only one Jew, and nine non-Jews. So I don't need this pasuk, the Arev Lo, Lemaute, to tell me that he's part of a Misa. We have a Rove over here. And the Torah says, Achirab Lahatis, Ruba Knanim, Ninhu. And therefore, when this stone was thrown, it's on in its flight, it's on its way to kill Lechora, a Knani. The fact that it killed the Yisrael, well, that's not part of the Kavonas Ritzicha. Inami, and even if it was Palga, if it was five Jews and five non-Jews, is nevertheless Safek Nefashas Lahakil. We still should apply the principle of Safek Nefashas Lahakil. And this is derived in Masechet Sanhedrin for the Pasuk V'shaftu Eidah V'itzilu Eidah Sarotzeach. And that proves that in the case of Safek, we don't put a person to death. Again, what was the Havmina that we would put him to death? At the Gemara there in Sanhedrin derives this from a Pasuk. Says the Brisker Rav, the Chiddush is that he's part of B'Torah's Vada. We would have thought that he's part of B'Torah's Sofek. And the Nafkamina would be, if the Gol Adam kills him, we can't kill the Gol Adam because the Gol Adam becomes a Sofek. No, we can kill the Gol Adam because V'shaft Eilu V'itzilu Eidah means we make it into a Vada that he's part of Mimisa. as if we could be machriya the suffik and assume that he didn't kill. It wasn't mechuvan to kill Yisrael. Lo tzricha. When do we need the pasuk of v'arev lo? The ikar the mitzvahs is the following: tisha Yisraelim v'yechid knani, 9 out of 10 of Jews. The afal gav deruba Yisraelim ninu. You would say for sure he's chayev in this case. But the answer is, the Arev Lo is telling you he's pot. Why? There's a principle here. And this principle has tremendous repercussions in all Yisurei Torah. Keva de'ika chad knani beinayu, since there's one non-Jew in the group. Havile kavua means the people are stationary in that place. V'chol kavua ke mechta al mechta dami. We treat it as if it was mechtzal mechtzal. I don't know if it means we completely negate the rov. Reb Chaim was of the opinion, no, there is a rov. But the Torah is mechadish not to implement and rely on this rov, and therefore make it into as if it were a suffix. Reb Shimon Shkop was in a different view. He held that the Torah through Kavua was mafkia rov in Gansin, is v'suffix nefashis lahakil. Now, once the Arev Lo teaches me the halacha of Kavua, creating, as it were, a suffix of palga al palga, then the mele we apply the principle that's derived from v'shofta eda v'tzila eda, that the rotzeach is not chayev misa, even though in fact he killed a Jew, and even though as the stone leaves its flight, you could say that it's on its way to kill a Jew, because 9 out of 10 of these people are Jewish. Nevertheless, the halacha views it as if it's 50-50, 5 Jews and 5 non-Jews, and that's the halacha of Kavua. The Mishnah tells us, Shar Isha, a Shar that's owned by an Isha. And this is going to be a list of cases where the Mishnah's Mechadish that there's a Chi of Misa. Again, in each case, you have to figure out the Havamina. Rabbi Yehuda is going to disagree in a number of cases in this Mishnah and say that Enochinami, In some of these cases, there's a patur, but the Mishnah now in the Tanakhama says that Yechayev in all these cases. So whether the shor is owned by a man or by a woman, the shor will be put to death if it kills a person. Vishar hayisomim. Again, even though the yisomim are hardly responsible for shmirah, but nevertheless, the shor killed, and the shor has to be put to death. Shor apotropis, in other words, in the case of Yisomim, Bezdin appointed the agent to oversee and supervise all of the nechasim, meaning even the shor, and therefore you would say that certainly here, in this case, there should be a chiv misa on the shor, and you've already told me that in the case of shor shel Yisomim. I don't know why you had to tell me apotropis, but that's what we'll see. Vaita shor amidbar. Oh, here's a chiddush: the shor is owned by no one. Okay, we're going to have another case. I'm going to just skip 2 words. Shar hager shemeis me'en lo yarshin. That too is hefker, it's ownerless. The ger died without any heirs. And even though there's no bailim, so you can't accuse the bailim and say, well, let's kill the shar and punish the bailim. No, we have a punishment that's independent of the bailim, and that's the shar hefker that's going to be put to death. Shar hegdesh, even though hegdesh is not responsible for damages, and therefore there would be no chiv kofer in this case, but nevertheless we put the shor to death. And he counted up how many cases he have. Let's count it. Isha Yisomim, Apotropis, Isha Yisomim, Apotropis, Midbar, Hegdesh, and Shor Ager. I count 6. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he disagrees. In what cases does he disagree? And he says that there is no chiv misa on the shor. Shor amidbar. And again, let's skip 2 words. Shor ager shemes. These are cases where there are no bailim. And to say, let's put the animal to death when there are no bailim here, that we can't say. Ptur min amisa lefish ein lem bailim. And now Rabbi Yehuda adds, and we'll have to see how he knows this, even a shor shel hegdesh. That also, as far as Nezikin is concerned, is considered ein lo bailim because of the pasuk re'ehu. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa, shor shiva. We find that if we count up in the parash of Shoshanogach Adam, I should say, how many times does the Torah repeat the word Shor? 7 times. And there are 6 extra times, because one Shor we need Litzarch Inyan Atzma. Now we have 6 extra Shors, Lahavi, and it's going to include, as far as the Chiv Misa Shor, these 6 cases that are mentioned by the Tanakama, in which the Shor is put to death. Lahavi, Shor Ha'isha, Shor Ha'yisomim, Shor Ha'petropis, Shor Ha'midbar, Shor Ha'hegdesh, Shor Ha'ger, Shemes, V'Einlo Yorshim. The Muki Yosef Tainis here, that L'chor the Tana didn't have to have both the cases of Shor Shalger and Shor Hamidbar, because they're identical cases, and the Yisod is one and the same. It's a Shor of Hefker. But rather, since we need a Ribui, and the Mishnah mentions these two cases, so we had 2 Shors for these 2 cases, therefore it's included. So the Mefarshim ask on the Nemuki Yosef, Tosis Yontif, he says, what kind of answer is that? You know, why did the Torah need this Ribui twice? And he suggests that if not for the second Ribui, we would have said that, and again, this, what I'm presenting to you now, will be clearer in just a minute as we go through the Sugya, that perhaps if the Shor was Hefker at the time of the Negicha, then the Torah says that, I'm sorry, just the other way around. If the Shor was Hefker at the time of Hamad Bedin, then the Torah says that Yechayev Misa, because there was an ownership at the time of the Negicha. How do we know that even if there was no ownership at the time of the Negicha, nevertheless the Shor is Chayev Misa, and for that, we need a special Ribui. That's the Pnei Yoshua. Again, this will all be a little bit clearer as we go along. Rashi wants to know, why do we need a Ribui to kill the Shor, even in the case of Shor Shel Yisomim? And Rashi answers, because Einam B'nei Dea, and therefore we would have thought Pturim. Now what about Apotropis? There the Apotropis is a Bardas. And maybe in this case, what we would say is that even though the Apotropis is a Bardas, nevertheless we should exonerate the Shor from Misa, because HaTorah Chosa Al Mamonim Shel Yisomim. But in effect, we still want to know why we need a Ribui for both Shor Shel Yisomim and Shor Shel Apotropis. If there's a Chiv Misa in the case of Shor Shel Yisomim, where there's no Bardas in the picture, how much more so in the case of Shor Shel Apotropis? So the Shita Mekubetza says that if it would have only said one Shor, we would have been Marbeh that logical case, the less of a Chidush. And that would be the case of Apotropis, where there is Shmira. But how would we know that even in the case of Shor Shel Yisomim without an Apotropis, nevertheless there's a Chiv Misa on the Shor, so that's why we need an extra Shor? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shor HaMidbar, Shor HaHegdesh, Shor HaGer Shemes Vein Lo Yorshim, Pturim Min HaMisa L'Fisha Ein, Lahem, Bailim. The Gemara now wants to clarify, when does Rabbi Yehuda require that the Shor have a Bailim in order to be Mechayev Misam Rabbi Huna, Poter Hoy Rabbi Yehuda, Filu Nogach Ulebesof, Higdish Nogach Ulebesof, Hifkir. Even though the Hafkas Bailus of the Shor took place subsequent to the Negicha, before the Hamor Bedin, or before Gemara Din, we'll discuss that difference in a minute. Nevertheless, we cannot punish this Shor if there's no Bailim. Even though, again, the Chisar and Bailus was only later on, not at the time of the Negicha. Mimai. How does Rav Huna know such a thing? Midiktani Tarti. Why did the Mishnah quote Rav Yehuda saying 2 things? Shor HaMidbar, which is Hefker. Vishar HaGer Shemes Ve'Eliosh, which is also Hefker. And the answer is Shor HaGer Shemes Mainiu. What's the Ptur? Dekevan Dein Lo Yorshim Havilei Shor Hefker. Hainu Shor HaMidbar, Hainu Shor HaGer Shemes Ve'Ein Lo Yorshim. In both cases, it's a Shor Shel Hefker. And if the the fact that there's no owner exonerates the shor of Misa. From Misa, why do I need these two cases? Why, Rabbi Yehuda, have to spell them out? Elalav hakamash malon. Rabbi Yehuda wanted to add something, that even a shor of a ger shemesvein lo yoshim is part of a Misa, in addition to the p'tur of shor shel hefker. Because the shor shel hefker was hefker even at the time of the negicha. So therefore, sure, there was no shaychus of bailus. Rabbi Yehuda wants to say, even where there is a shaychus of bailus, in the case of a ger shemes, let's say the ger died after negicha, so at the time of the negicha there was bailim, or for example, the case where there was a bailim, but after the negicha, before the amar b'din higdish, or nogach l'besof hifkir, and the same logic will apply if the baal was mafkir later. Ishma mino, Rabbi Yehuda wants to say that even in that case, there's no chiv misa on the shor, and the reason for that is because you don't punish the shor without bailim. Bailus is a precondition in the chiv misa of the shor. Tanya nami hoch, we also have it in the Tosefta. Yoser al kein om Rabbi Yehuda, afilu nogach. Ulubasof Higdish Nogach Ulubasof Hifkir Potter Shenemar. Oh, now we get down to brass tacks. Where did Rabbi Yehuda know Bechlal that Bailus is a precondition in the Chi of Misa the Shor? Shenemar in the Parsha of Misa Sashor, it says, Vim Shor Nagach Umitvol Shilshom Vehuad Biba Olov Velo Yishmeren of Ahemis Ish O Isha Hashor Yisokel. In other words, we're talking about a case of ha'oda, and you need bailov, then shor yisokel. Ha'oda means in front of bezdin. Ad shetei misa v'amod b'din shovin ke'echad. When the shor is brought into bezdin in front of the dayanim, and the edim now come to testify that the shor killed someone, there's v'huad b'bolov. The bailov are there, so they have to be the b'shas amod b'din. The Gemara asks the following question. Ugmar din lo be'inon. Let's say after the Amor b'din, the Bailim were mafkir the shor. What would Rabbi Yehuda say then? Vaha, doesn't the pasuk say gam hashor yisokel? In the same pasuk, we're talking about not only vahuad bibolov, but hashor yisokel. And shor yisokel is a reference to gmar din. Ela ema, we have to make that little change. Ate eshetehe misav amod abedin ugmar din shovin kiechod. You need that the misa, meaning the act of negicha, and number two, the amod abedin, and number three, the gmar din, they all have to be with bailim. And this lechora leads us to the conclusion that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the misa shor is somehow connected to the bailim. The shor is going to be killed not so much because of the guilt of the shor, but perhaps because of the guilt of the bailim. There has to be a process of vahuad bibolov. The only kasha you could ask me on that pshat in Rabbi Yehuda is what's the halach of a shor tam? The shor tam is chayv misa v'killed b'kavana, and yet the bailim are potter from kofar. So even though the bailim are exempt from punishment, so to speak, because it's only a shor tam, they're not totally guilty here, even though someone was killed, nevertheless the shor is put to death. So I would say the following. Again, even in the case of shor tam, there is an element of negligence on the part of the bailim. And we're going to kill the shor, according to Rabbi Yehuda's shita, as a punishment for the bailim, even though that punishment for the bailim doesn't go all the way around the basis. It's not a total punishment. That potter from kofar in the case of a shor tam. But again, when we get back to the Chachamim Shita, which is the Shita that we paskin like, against Rabbi Yehuda, the Shor is going to be put to death, even though there's no Bailim at all. It's a Shor Shel Hefker. And that means the punishment for the Shor. And that's the Ramban in his Pirush Al Torah. Again, without the Ramban, I would have said it's just a protective measure. But it's very difficult to say that killing the Shor is a protective measure, because the Gemara establishes this principle of kemisas bailim kach misas hashor. And certainly in the case where the shor has no kavana to kill this person, but he had kavana to kill a different person, the shor is just as dangerous. It had kavana larog. So if it just missed, you know, the mark and it got the wrong guy, the wrong victim, there's no reason why we shouldn't put the shor to death. And the answer is that we don't put the shor to death according to Reb Shimon because of this equation of kemisas bail and kachmisas shor. And that seems to indicate that we're not killing the shor because of the protection of society, but we're killing the shor for its full-fledged guilt and ritzicha. And there's a little bit missing here, according to Reb Shimon at least, in the case of this kavi laragazev argazev. And it's a pella that's what the Ramban points out in his Pirush al Torah, that the Torah considers a shor bar das, so to speak. We know that although an animal doesn't have intelligence to speak, but it has some level of intelligence, as the Ramban points out, it runs away from crises situations. So in that context, the Torah says, let's put the shor to death. All right, we'll stop here.